Welcome to the Sports Brewery Podcast. I'm Alex Braga. If you have any suggestions for our trivia or our list segment that happened at the end of the show, you can holler at us on Twitter at Jeromney, at TSB Ski, at TSB Pod.
What up, Fresh? That's some of that old synthesized symphonic loveliness. Sound like some of that legendary build-up music. Powerful punchlines pierce through politics. Now that it's crunch time, I'm fierce with all of this. Gather my vocabulary and no adversary. Can't stop me, I'm Rocky when he had the fury.
So here we were, all ready to record tonight's podcast. We had talked about it a little bit leading up. Our list is very, pro-Blazers, happy Blazers. Our trivia also revolves around that. We're all feeling great going into today. And then Portland goes out in game two against the Lakers and lays an absolute egg. That was one of the worst. I mean, okay, it might be a little bit hyperbole because we've seen the Blazers play really shitty a lot in the last few years. But defensively and rebounding-wise, that was atrocious. I don't know if I have seen that lack, like that level of a lack of effort in a game. I know it's weird because our standards are higher now because Portland's played so well in the last few months, or I guess just since they started the bubble play. They played so well and so hard every game, and then they go out and play like they did tonight in game two, and it's just surprising, I guess.
Well, I think before we go on, sure. I think it's only appropriate that in the year of 2020, the year of a global pandemic, the worst economy since, the Great Depression, just
worst
general
economy?
Just fire everywhere. Everything sucks. I think we need to take a moment and be very classy and congratulate the Los Angeles Lakers on their first playoff win since 2012.
It's a big moment for them.
A big moment. It's their biggest win in, almost a decade.
Is it really 2012?
Yep. Last time they made it was 2013, and they got swept.
They got broomed out.
They got broomed. But that was that weird era where Laker fans just couldn't admit that.
What'd they get in? Were they the 8 seed or the 7 seed that year?
I can't remember. I know it was
they
Spurs.
Definitely weren't a top 4 seed.
Yeah. And that was the year I think Kobe popped his Achilles before.
But
congratulations. First playoff win since 2012.
111-88 the final.
I should have compiled this. I should have. The amount of teams that have playoff wins since the Lakers' last playoff win. Because it'd be funny to see that, the Charlotte Bobcats, when they were the Bobcats, had, four wins since the Lakers' last
win. Michael Jordan was still in the league.
Right, right.
He was playing for his Bobcats. It's a shame because, and I guess we could still talk shit about Green.
Good news.
Ready with the Caldwell Nope jokes.
Hey, good news is that Caldwell Pope is now not the worst player in the bubble. Danny Green has officially surpassed him.
Congratulations, Danny Green. You are the worst player in the bubble.
Yes.
Caldwell Nope came out with 4 threes today.
Yep.
16 points. Him hitting threes early on kind of told us how the game was going to go because Portland still can't get a defensive rebound to save their life. But when Caldwell Pope is going to be hitting threes like that, and LeBron didn't really do anything today. He didn't have to because Anthony Davis was unstoppable. He was hitting threes. He went 3 of 4 from three-point range.
You know why?
Because Portland wasn't fucking guarding anybody tonight.
Well, Davis shouldn't shoot another three in this series.
No.
Yeah.
Unless it's like fourth quarter and they're up 15, it's just for fun.
Yeah.
He can score inside anytime he wants.
He can't, but also if you leave him wide open, he can hit threes.
Sure. But he shouldn't be out there. Not in this series.
You know my biggest problem with tonight's game is the fact that JaVale McGee had 10 and 8. JaVale McGee should never score against your team. Like if you're going against the Lakers, who have Anthony Davis, who have LeBron James, who have, you know, Caldwell Pope, Kuzma off the bench, JaVale McGee should not be scoring points. He's not on that team to score points. He's not
that's
on that
when
team
running,
to double figures.
That's when they're running good, though, is when that means LeBron and AD are getting to the paint and then pulling his guy away from him and getting a wide open oop. That's when they're at their best, is when McGee is getting like 10 to 12 points.
Yeah.
But tonight was more of a Blazer couldn't make a fucking shot.
Nope.
And as Blazer fans, for the, you know, we've seen this team before, and they have these games where they cannot make a shot and they lose by 30. It's, you know, it happens every year in the playoffs.
Well, that's the thing about this series, is that the Lakers can't really stop what the Blazers do well, and the Blazers can't stop what the Lakers do well. The problem is the Lakers have two of those guys, the Blazers one. And the Lakers have two of those guys that can score easy twos when they want. Where Lillard's getting wide, can get wide open threes, but if he's not hitting them, he's just not hitting them.
Yeah, that
and
was
at
less.
Point, it was throwing less out 35 footers.
Yeah, it was a lot less Dame tonight. It was CJ was a non-factor. Melo was a non-factor. Nurk didn't have a good night.
You want to hear something about Melo? He was a minus 26 tonight.
Yeah, he did not play good tonight. Those guys, they could not make a shot to save their lives.
He was 1 of 6 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3, and had 0 rebounds. Like, if Melo's going to – okay, that's proving everybody right, by the way, who talked crap about Melo when he wasn't on a roster last year and, you know, couldn't buy himself on a team. Then all of a sudden he comes back to Portland and is, you know, balling out. But you cannot have a night like this in the playoffs if you're a future Hall of Famer, which is what Carmelo Anthony is. And he's still basically playing well, but you cannot have nights like this, man.
He can, because like King was saying, you got LeBron and AD. You got those two guys. They're going to get theirs every night. And the Blazers have Dame. The Blazers need either McCollum, Nurkic, Melo, or Trent. One of those guys has to go with them. And unfortunately, tonight, all four of them
trash.
Trent didn't play bad, but
he was okay.
You can't expect him to, you know, put up 30 points and, you know, in McCollum's absence like this.
Yeah, Nurkic finished with 9 points and
yeah,
eight. And by the way, Dame was off too. So
yeah,
one of seven from three, 18 points. This is a throwaway game if you're Portland. Oh. Like you might watch some film, I guess, because you got nothing else to do in the bubble. I mean, I guess you can go back and record another couple tracks or watch some Netflix or something. But like this game is, you forget about this game quickly because you don't really have any other choice.
But it's nice to see that even in the bubble, the NBA script plays out well.
Oh yeah.
You know, the overwhelming favorite loses a game and everyone's a little edgy. Yeah. And then of course the next game, because it's the NBA,
yeah,
that team just comes out firing
too. Yeah.
Yeah.
You see a couple calls, you know, early in that first quarter. LeBron should have got his second foul, literally a forearm shove to Trent playing defense.
Well, that first foul he got was bullshit.
I don't know if it's the refs are just bad or if they were told to, like, you know, kind of keep everything kind of locked in. There's no fans, so, you know, it's, you know, everyone's only looking at that. It's
yelling at them to make,
yeah,
you know, halfway.
The spotlight is on that. So I wonder if they were told something. I would say one highlight of the night was I'm starting to really dig Wenyan Gabriel.
I was just going to say.
Dude plays hard.
He does play hard.
And he's the only one really attacking rebound. I mean, Nurk still does, but he's just outclassed in size by those guys.
Don't do this. Don't do this, D. Don't do this. This is Blazer fan garbage that we've been seeing for the last couple of decades, where they fall in love with this scrappy player. He has no business playing NBA basketball. It's nice that he tries hard.
Here's why I like him.
He should not be starting for a fucking playoff team. I don't care if Collins is hurt. You figure something else out.
Mari Hezonja should play 0 minutes a night.
He should play 0 minutes.
So the fact that they're giving Gabriel minutes that he should be getting, I'm liking. Because he is, like I said, he's hustling and contributing out there, at least somewhat.
Is there
he
a
does
way
run fast. Get, I'll give him that.
Is there a way you can get Hassan in the starting lineup?
Did you see how he played tonight? I don't think the motherfucker's put a body on a rebound in decade, or in, since he came to the league in a decade.
He is one of the league's best shot blockers.
Yes.
He does get rebounds because he's tall.
Yes.
So
he does not work to get a rebound.
You're guaranteed that. He's at least going to challenge AD on the inside. Gabriel, I don't want Gabriel taking 8 shots. If I'm a Portland fan, that upsets me. Because those are 8 shots that should go to somebody else. Yeah, 7 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. Cool. It's cool. I appreciate that from Gabriel. It's cool.
They need him just to play defense, because that's like I wouldn't be upset if it took 0 shots.
Can I get an honest answer from both you? Did you know who he was before this playoff series?
Yes.
Okay. So you knew of him. Did you know anything about his game before this playoff series?
Well, I figured since he was in a Caleb Swanigan and Trevor Ariza trade, he probably just ran really hard in any direction. I just felt like he was that guy.
He's got good heart, guys. He's a gym rat.
He's fast. He does run hard.
So how are we feeling about game 3 now?
Well, we haven't talked about game 1 at all.
Okay.
Because game one
had us all feeling real good.
I think we might have gotten lulled a little bit.
Lulled a little bit.
I don't know if – because the Blazers didn't play that well in that game either.
Yeah.
They got the win.
They easily could have lost that game. Because if they don't get that – let's say I think it was Whiteside got the block, and then Dame comes down, shoots the 38-footer. If they don't get that, they lose the game.
I mean,
Lakers were up 6.
Yeah.
And then they got like 3 straight threes and just kind of turned the game on its
head. Yeah, then Gary Trent misses that 3 or Melo misses that 3. All of a sudden, it's a one possession game instead, different things.
But they did close out, which was great. And, they followed their superstar to do it, which is great. That's what you need.
Like I said, I couldn't get a read on it because it was, they held him to under 100 points, but they only scored. Was it 100? Is that all the Blazers got? Was it 100 to 97? 106? Yeah, it was. I couldn't get a read on it because they didn't play great on offense. I felt it was more just the Blazers or the Lakers, what were they? 2 of 19, whatever Green and KCP was.
Yeah.
Some just atrocious number. That's kind of like how the Blazers were tonight. They couldn't make a shot.
The memes were very good after game 1.
Oh, they were gold.
Yes.
But I didn't – I did hear that Dame dislocated his finger.
He sure did. That looked real gross.
Not helpful.
It's on his non-shooting hand, so that's good. But it did look really gross. He was reaching – trying to do a reach from behind on AD.
And baby.
AD's foot, came up and – very much dislocated Dame's finger.
But is that not a fitting thing to happen, blowout game?
So he would have – he definitely – if it were a close game, he would have taped it up and come back in.
Oh, yeah.
100%. But
I don't know. Game 3 for sure.
Also. Again, it's not a shooting hand, so it's not as bad as it could be. But, we've all shot a basketball. We all took Dean Stepp's sharpshooting class at South Eugene High School and – 8 o'clock in the morning, getting up way before we all really want to, but we're in sharpshooting because we want to seem like we're cool. But we all took that class. We hold the ball with the right hand. We balance it with the left. It could affect things. Who knows? He does a lot of stuff with his left hand. So yeah. I don't know. we'll see. That's good. That's going to remain to be seen.
Where are you guys in the series? I still got the Blazers in 7.
Lakers in 6 still.
Yeah, I see. I still, again, we talked about it before. Like, we were all acting like we all wanted to believe the Blazers are going to beat the Lakers, but the Lakers are still 52-19. They still have LeBron and AD. Like, they're still a better team than Portland. If they fucking don't, you know, if they figure it out like they did tonight, then they should easily beat Portland. I hope Portland wins. Don't get me wrong.
If the Blazers make shot, I mean, they were down 6 in that first quarter. And I think there was like 8 straight possessions where Dame did not touch the ball. Mm-hmm. And on the other end, the Lakers didn't score a point after that. I mean, the game could have changed momentum just with something like that. Just because the Lakers are not a good shooting team.
Yeah.
So I think it was – there was 2, maybe 3 Danny Green threes that he chucked up kind of in about a 5-possession span. Mm-hmm. I think he got within 6 inches of maybe making a shot on him.
Wide open, too. They're just leaving him alone. And they're begging him to make a shot. And he won't do it. He's like, nope. He's like a little kid throwing a tantrum. No, I don't want to make a 3. No matter how easy they make it for him.
At least with this Blazer team, I think we'll know in the first quarter how the game's going to go, really.
Yeah.
If Dame's not making shots, and especially CJ cannot fucking buy a bucket tonight,
Though, leading up to this series, like, Portland's been playing out of their fucking minds. Like, everybody was hitting shots. Yeah. And that kind of, you know, continued into game one. But you had to figure eventually, like, Gary Trent Jr. is not going to hit, like, 75% of his threes for the rest of the bubble. You know, like, CJ is still playing with a fractured back. Like, he is a great scorer, and he's still, you know, generally playing really well. He didn't really tonight, but they have guys who can score, but not everybody's going to score.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. Like I said, the Lakers need 2. I think the Blazers need 3 of those guys.
4.
Dame.
4. They need Melo to play way better than he did today. Melo cannot score 2 points. He played 27 minutes and score 2 points. He can't. He's got to be better. I mean, everybody has to be better.
Yeah.
But if you're going to beat the Lakers, everybody has to play well.
Oh, God, I forget. There's some absurd stat of a 1 seed that loses game 1. I think they've never lost game 2 after that.
Really?
I'm pretty sure that's what the stat – it was something like that I saw.
Like, no one so kind of, ever gone down 2-0.
Yes. So it was kind of inevitable that this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I wish it wasn't going to be this ugly
If all things equal, if Dame didn't dislocate his finger, I'd still feel okay. But Dame hurting himself, that's
– Hey, good news. Dame only played 30 minutes tonight. Mm-hmm. Positive.
Yeah. Sat out most of the fourth because
yes.
Woof. Any comments on the rest of the playoffs? Like, I think Houston's up 2-0 over OKC. The Bucks did win. I think a lot of us kind of saw that one coming.
It's weird. It's kind of only that Mavericks-Clippers series is entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these other series are not very fun to watch.
Heat and Pacers.
Jazz and Nuggets has been
good. Jazz and Nugs, yeah. But, like, you know, Sixers-Celtics could have been a good series. All of a sudden, like, 5 guys aren't playing, and it's...
Yeah. It's kind of a shame about the Nets, isn't it? I know we kind of talked about this when Portland played them. But, like, the Nets, you know, with... So, KD is healthy. You know, he had all this extra time with the Achilles. He's in a fucking Drake video. He's doing okay. Kyrie Irving said he didn't want to play because he didn't want to mess with the bubble and COVID and stuff like that, which, you know, all respect to him, whatever. But, like, imagine that team in a situation like this. Like, Kyrie and KD, and then you have the guys who, you know, were fucking playing lights out like they did against Portland. Like, the Nets could have been fun.
You forgot even just adding maybe Spencer Dinwiddie to this current team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when those guys were down, I think he might have been their leading scorer.
I'm not a believer in the Kyrie and KD Nets.
Find out.
They're too moody. You can have one moody star. You can't have two moody stars, mm-hmm. especially when the second moody star thought he was the one moody star when he was playing with LeBron fucking James. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't know. And he's going to – Kyrie is going to find the Illuminati in something during a game. I'm just out on that duo. I just –
You think those two never make a serious run?
I mean, define serious. I mean,
have multiple Eastern Conference championships?
You'd have to win a playoff series.
No,
I don't think so. I'm not a believer in it.
Look, bro, Kyrie's not moody. He's just super woke. Like, figure it out, man. Get on his level.
Kyrie made that Boston Celtics roster worse. Like, they were worse when he played.
He's just
a weirdo. Like, we're going back a couple years now. Yeah. But, you know, he forces his way out of Cleveland. Fine. He's well within his rights to do that. And then it's a game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. When the Cavs, all of a sudden, you kind of see what's coming. They're going to win. And what's he do? He's like, I'm going to get my tonsils removed and not show up to the game. Mm-hmm. Weirdo shit. Weirdo shit.
Just makes weird decisions as a person.
Yeah, I'm just not.
As a professional human being, he makes weird decisions.
I honestly, and you can't take away from him, that game 7-3 and that game 5 performance, I think it was, when him and LeBron both killed the Warriors. You can't take it away from him. But if he just misses that 3, I mean, LeBron's legacy is way different too, but I think people look at Kyrie as much more of the mercurial weirdo than they do now.
Oh, yeah.
But he has maybe the biggest shot in NBA history. Can't take it from him. But in reality, it's just one play. It is just one play.
One play can make a guy. We all know that. David Tyree.
You know,
after that catch he made in the Super Bowl, he didn't catch another pass in the NFL.
Yep.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
All right, so we should probably get to – by the way, real quick, I do like the Mavs-Clippers series too.
Yeah, I think it's a very entertaining.
That's a fun one. That one's interesting at least. All the pieces in that series are at least interesting.
It's weird because usually those good matchups are, you know, both teams have personalities mm-hmm. when the Mavericks have all the personality in the world on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the Clippers, which you got – I guess Beverly has a personality. It's kind of just like an asshole. That's his personality. But then you kind of got
the poster boy for Morris. NBA mediocrity.
Yeah.
And then Paul George all of a sudden now kind of has that, you know, little crybaby attitude to him. And then Kawhi has no personality. So it's like, I'm a little surprised at how good this series is, honestly.
No, I mean, they're really good teams. That's why it's a good series. Is that those guys you mentioned are really good basketball players. So at least there's a whole bunch of talent.
Are the Mavs good?
Yeah.
I haven't decided yet if they're actually good or not. I mean,
Luka is really good, and yes, I feel like he's underrated. I mean, the guy averaged a triple-double in the bubble, the bubble triple-double, and he's fucking unstoppable. Like, nobody has an answer for Luka.
Can't shoot threes.
4 of 7 yesterday.
One game, but
okay.
He's not very good at it.
He's not very good at it. That's well.
We got him.
You have a weakness, or else you're
good. Well, I think the other one is defense.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fair.
Defense optional coming out.
No, he's going to be really good. He's going to be better than Zion. Like he's going to be that next up and comer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you got him and Porzingis, but it's kind of like.
I'm still not sure if Porzingis is good.
That one, I can't tell. I have no idea if he's good. Yeah. Like, the other, I think it was game 1, maybe. Maybe I'm mixing up the games. Maybe it was, you know, whatever. But there was some game recently where he had, like, 35 points middle of the third, and I'm like, I've watched this game.
Where did that come from?
Yeah. And I feel like he has 13. I don't understand what happened here.
It definitely wasn't game 1 because he had 14 points in that one.
Must have been one of the play-in games.
Yeah, okay. Let's get to baseball. because there's a lot of talk this week about unwritten rules, as it refers to Fernando Tatis Jr. So I had never heard of swinging at a 3-0 pitch being one of the unwritten rules of baseball until this week.
It's because you weren't listening hard enough.
So you guys are more into baseball than I am. Is that a thing?
So, I mean,
I feel like I've seen it a lot in the last.
Yes, week. Yes, it is. But the big problem I had with this was the situation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just
I mean, a 7-run lead is not, you know, shut everything down. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought a lot of these unwritten rules were for, you know, if a position player is pitching.
Right.
If a major league pitcher is throwing a major league pitch to a major league hitter.
Yeah.
There should be no unwritten rules on what you do.
Completely agree.
And that goes for the other one I vary against is the no bunting for a hit when someone has a no-hitter going.
Oh, get out of here.
No. Unless that is an absolute blowout game and the guy is throwing a no-no, fuck that. If it's a 2 or 3-run game and I'm trying to get on fucking base.
I feel like, though, that's been the case when it comes up. Like, the most famous one was, I can't remember if it was Schilling or Randy Johnson, and they're up like 7-0 in the ninth, and the guy bunts to get on.
Different. 7-0, that game's, you know.
Or even last year, I think it was last year, when Scherzer is going for the perfect game through 8 2/3, throws a little curveball, guy with the elbow guard goes right down into his knee to catch the ball on his elbow to blow the perfect game.
I can stick that elbow out.
No, that shit's whack. And I always say that one really because I'm against the elbow guards. If I think his last name was Tabata or Tachata. You've never heard of him before. You've never heard of him since. He's a scrub. If he doesn't have an elbow guard, he's not sticking his elbow in the middle of a Scherzer pitch because no one is sticking their body out for a Scherzer pitch.
Catching 97 miles an hour anywhere on your body sucks. catching on your elbow is probably the third worst place you get hit. Head and then knee are the.
Like, I'm actually okay with, I think it was Bagwell who did it, where he put that big giant pad on his hand. Totally get that.
Yeah.
Protecting your hand. Yeah.
But, or even, you know, I guess the shin guard I'm fine with because foul balls are.
That's whatever. Where you want to pull your main guy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. The elbow one leg. Does just drive me insane, though. I can't stand it. It totally skews the inside of the plate. I know Barry Bonds
did. Did he start it? Did Bonds start it?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, that motherfucker stood right on the plate. And dared you to try to throw one inside.
As if he didn't already have the chemical advantage on him.
He had the chemicals, and he basically looked like a robot up there.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to stand on the plate. If you throw it on the outside corner, I'm going to go get it. You throw it in. It's either going to hit this fucking, you know, 6-inch pad off me, or I'm going to turn on it, hit it a mile.
I'm going to have 900 on base percentage somehow.
Yeah. But back to the Tatis thing. Yeah, this is a bullshit thing. And my other theory on it is, all right, the pitcher falls behind 3-0, right? Yeah. You should want the guy to swing 3-0 because that will save your shitty pitcher that can't throw a fucking strike.
Yeah.
It'll get the game going. Hopefully it will end the inning.
That's what you're trying to do, right? You're trying to get him to swing and miss at something.
Yes.
Isn't that the point? So hitting a baseball for a home run is really fucking hard to do. Not a lot of guys are good at that. And you're going against another major league player, a professional in the league, and that is a really difficult thing to do. And so what we're saying by saying this is an unwritten rule is that a 3-0 pitch, which is generally going to be a fastball down the middle because he's trying to get a strike. So what we're saying is we're all just okay with a 3-0 pitch being a fastball right down the middle, and everybody just like, okay, here's a free strike. So that's what we're saying, is that you're just allowed a free strike if you suck and get down 3-0. Like, that's the argument we're making here.
Yeah, that's why I said position players.
Just serve it up. Here, have a free strike. Go ahead. 85 right down the dick. Like, whatever. Do your thing. It's fine. Like, no. If you're going to fucking throw it right down the middle, I'm going to hit it into the fucking 80th row. Like fucking Tatis does, because he's great. Young superstars, man. I ain't for this Goose Gossage bullshit. These unwritten dumbass rules.
The worst part, if the Rangers manager wants to pop off about unwritten rules, fine. He's a crusty old stereotypical white manager.
Yeah.
When the Padres manager got mad at Tatis thing, I put the, you know,
I hated that so much. Don't
swing a trio. That's where the issue really comes from.
I hated that was so wild. Much.
Well, here's the funny thing is, Tingler's like 40. He's like the youngest coach in the big leagues. He should not have, you know, this isn't fucking, oh, what was the old Orioles manager that fucking.
Sparky Anderson.
Earl Weaver.
Earl Weaver. This isn't fucking Earl Sparky Weaver Anderson out there. Detroit.
My bad. Let me fix that.
This isn't Earl Weaver, Jim Leland killing like three packs in the dugout. This guy's a young guy that, you know, there's guys his age that's still in the big leagues. Yeah. So, that, yeah, I agree with King. That Adrian, was the biggest part
Adrian Beltre and him were born in the same hospital.
But the bullshit thing.
That's not true.
No. Okay, I don't.
The sure. bullshit thing about this is, though, is because the Rangers manager thought this was, you know, the unwritten rule, you fucked us. Next pitch was fucking right behind Machado's head. And that's the kind of thing that you don't want to have. That's why he was getting mad at Tatis, even though, you know, he should have had his back.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, maybe Manny gets hit in the hand and, you know, he's done.
If you want to have a conversation with him about it, like back in the dugout or something, it's like, hey man, like that wasn't cool or whatever. That's fine. But like a public display like that is horseshit. And it's, you stick up for your guy, man. And especially if your guy is as good as he is, and especially if he fucking hits a grand slam. Like, again, man, like, how many grand slams is he going to hit in his career?
Well, Tatis is going to hit a lot.
Well, how many, though? Like, what's a lot?
Six or seven? That's
six
a good
or seven a career. Yeah. In the whole fucking career. Like, if you have the bases loaded and you got a fucking guy serving up a fastball right down the middle, no matter what the situation is, I'm swinging. Yeah.
Oh, his dad hit 2-1 inning, so maybe.
Exactly. Which callback to trivia.
Yes, yeah, right.
Still didn't get fucking Wade Boggs, but that's fine.
Fucking Boggs. Fucking Boggsy. Here's a question. All right, it's mostly to King, though, is what are your acceptable unwritten rules? Clearly one for you is the no bunting for a hit in a perfect game or no hitter late.
Yes, that is.
I think the other ones I got is, you don't steal bags up double digits in the late innings.
Yeah.
And if someone comes in, cleats up, that's an unwritten rule. Someone's going to get dotted on that team.
Cleats up is
a written rule, by the way.
It kind of is now. You can't, you can't wipe out guys anymore, really.
You get suspended for that.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a written rule.
So just recently, because it took a broken leg in the playoffs.
The unwritten part of this is throwing the next pitch at somebody's skull. That's what we're saying. I fucking hate that shit, man. Baseball players are such fucking babies. Like, ugh. The whiny little bitches, man. Like, if you can't get a guy out, then why are you complaining? You gave up a grand slam.
Like, well, that was a...
Man, you're terrible.
That was the great quote from David Price. It's like, if you don't want people like pimping home runs on you, throw better pitches.
Throw better pitches. Don't be garbage.
Because that's kind of
– college football argument. Like, if you're trailing by 35 and a team scores another touchdown running the football, you have nothing to complain about. Like, get recruit better. Get better defensive players. Teach them to tackle better. That's it. You're just bad at football. Own it. Don't complain about this sportsmanship crap, man. That's not sportsmanship. That's you not – like, they're running the ball. Stop them. Shit.
Where does the lie for the other sports? Like, if this is an unwritten rule for baseball, you don't swing 3-0 because you're up seven runs. You don't see it in basketball. You know, a team's up 25-30 late. Those guys are still jacking threes. like I said, college football, they bring in the second string. They're still throwing on these teams up 50.
Well, I think basketball, and we saw that tonight, they just bring in the backups on both teams. That's it. But the backup,
so backups are in, anything goes.
Backups are still hucking threes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong. But that's the line, is in baseball, you can't really do that. Like, you're not just – I mean, you could do, like, pinch runners for guys or something like that, but you can't really pull out the starters, you know?
And there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It is now 4-0 Reds.
Yeah, apparently that is –
apologize for breaking into that conversation.
That is not an unwritten rule in baseball.
Yeah. What's that? That are the Reds or what? What are we talking about? Yeah. The Reds should
be – I'll let you handle this one, King.
You missed the Tom – The Tom Brenner, yeah.
I did not miss that.
Well, I mean, the best part of that was in the middle of his apology, just calling a home run by Nick Castellanos.
Oh, I didn't catch that part. Okay.
And do you want to know where the ball landed? In the left field bleachers, which is a sponsored ad that says the Judgment Free Zone.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you guys watch Brockmeyer.
The universe is a wonderful thing.
But that whole 4-minute clip, well, I mean, stretch it out. That whole apology, you could not write that. Yeah. That was a Brockmeyer open. That was a cold opening for Brockmeyer.
Oh, to the T.
I apologize for my homophobic slurs. And there's a drive to deep left field by Nick Castellanos. It's 4-0 Reds. I don't know if I'll ever wear this headset again. Come on down to Jiffy Lube, where the lube is Jiffy.
50% off oil changes if you say the name Brenneman.
Strike one.
Yes, strike one to Castellanos. He is now without a job.
I don't know. Some people might not know
what we're talking about. He dropped a big old F-bomb. So he broke cardinal rule of a like live sporting event announcer. He broke the cardinal rule of you always act like the mic is hot. Even if you're in a commercial break, you'll see this, like the TV guys, they do not talk during commercial breaks. They don't. They basically, the only thing they'll say is like they'll talk to their statistician and get like a piece of paper and ask him a question or something. But they don't actually talk until they take the headset off for like halftime or something like that.
It was just a bad day for professional announcers. Did you see the Charlotte Hornets announcer? Oh, boy. He was watching Nuggets Jazz and was talking about how great the shooting was between the Jazz and the New.
This was a man of Caucasian persuasion.
Yes, and what I will say is that technically he has plausible deniability because the letters that were mixed up are right next to the correct letters. But
if you take the N-bomb out of it, it's such a lighthearted like tweet.
Oh, yeah. Like, boy, what a fun game. They're shooting the ball. I love these.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
two of those in the same week.
Yeah, that guy.
It couldn't have been.
Wow. One was in the morning.
Wow.
Oh.
Amazing. A banner day in broadcasting history.
I will say, some karmic justice for the pods after that. After that grand slam for Tatis, is they've now hit a grand slam in 4 straight games against him. So
4 games in a row.
Yep.
And it's 4-0 Reds.
that was so perfect. God.
God, I love old timey baseball voice.
You should just do the rest of the podcast in that voice.
I'll try. I'll see what I can do. Right,
see if you can do it.
Okay, so real quick before we get to list and trivia, the SEC released a schedule. It was like a couple days ago. And again, so I really get the sense that they're going to actually try to play college football this year. I don't know how realistic that is.
I just think it's funny
the way they scheduled the SEC, because they added the two additional conference games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
So it's like what everybody's been making fun of them for?
Yeah. So Alabama gets like, what was it, Mizzou and Kentucky.
Yep.
And LSU gets Mizzou and I forget who else.
These big time programs.
Like Arkansas's going oh for the conference.
Vanderbilt.
You know, but it's just funny that they really, if you look, they very much protected their top teams.
Yeah.
That first whole week, it's like new coach Lane Kiffin, have fun with Florida. New coach from Mizzou, enjoy Alabama. New coach at, I forget, all these places. Have fun with LSU. Oh, the guy from Arkansas, yeah. Have fun with LSU. Okay, great.
It's funny that they're protecting their teams because, you know, so the playoff is still a thing. So, like, the Pac-12 or the – Mark Emmert came out and said the NCAA is canceling all of the the postseason stuff for fall sports. But that does not include the college football playoff because that is not governed by the NCAA. So the playoff can still do their voting, still do their, you know, their Final Four play-in games, like, whatever. They can still do all of that. But – if it's just going to be the SEC and the ACC and like the Sun Belt
and Oklahoma, you know,
what's that?
And Oklahoma
and Oklahoma. And like, what are we really even saying here?
I mean, I don't know. I'm still not convinced it's happening, but no. I just thought the schedule was funny.
It's weird because I'm not convinced the fall season's going to happen. I'm also less and less convinced as time goes on that a spring season is going to happen.
No chance.
Yeah. Or that they're – because they're talking about trying to do it in winter. So they're saying like maybe the end of December, early January. But that's like if you don't start the season by January, those kids are not going to play in the spring.
Correct.
They're just not.
That sounds like a fun time to play an outdoor sport. In much of the country,
yeah,
blast.
Wisconsin, yeah. Iowa, Purdue, Ohio State games in December would be just January and February would be amazing.
Those 9 a.m. West kickoffs, like
little 10 degree wind chill going on.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Woof.
Ugh. And as you see. Colleges that have opened, it's all going swimmingly for these schools. Oh, they're not sending kids home, you know.
Was that Mississippi, the high schools? They had like, was it 300 cases of COVID in the first day or something like that? Yeah. It was like the first week they opened schools. A bunch of teachers had to get sent home. Like half of the district got quarantined or whatever. Smart.
Good times.
We're making great decisions for our children. All right, anything else?
I was going to say, what percentage you guys put at college happening?
Less and less as time goes on.
But what do you put it as the NFL happening?
I've said
100%.
100%,
right?
Yeah.
All right, because within the last couple days, like, all my fantasy team shit started like, all right, this is going to happen. Let's fucking figure out. You got to modify something, get a little like, COVID protection players on your squad now and
COVID protection. No.
Yeah we are going to add two extra players to our roster.
No,
if a player is not able to play because of COVID, you are allowed to substitute a player in.
As if fantasy doesn't like marginalize these guys enough.
Right.
Jesus.
These are just names and numbers to us.
What I will say about the whole NFL thing is, like, my joke has been that they played when Hines Ward watched the field blow up underneath them and whatever. Yeah. So they're like 3 weeks into some semblance of practice.
Yep.
Not on my radar. I pay attention to sports. Like,
I purposely, I think, not on the radar.
And I just, even like the Kansas City Chiefs official, you know, whatever, they throw up a couple of things a day. But it's not like it usually is where they're bombarding you with every 3-yard pass or every wide receiver who can do the Dougie. Like, you know, there's nothing. Well,
so I happen to follow. Yeah, totally.
Because you got baseball, you know, I think they just canceled the Mets game tonight.
And tomorrow.
I don't even think it was a player, but someone in the – there tested. So I think they're just like, all right, let's be under the radar till maybe a week before the season starts, and then we'll hype it hard once, you know, just in case some shit goes down with these practices.
Am I wrong? Or are we 21 days away from Chiefs in Texas?
Yeah, you are not wrong.
That's wild, man.
However, yeah, that's going to work. Because they're still deciding if they're going to have fans in stadiums, too. Like, none of that shit has been finalized yet. It kind of depends on the states. But I know I remember hearing that, like, Mark Davis pissed off a bunch of the owners or something like that. I forget. I was listening to, like, one of the radio shows where, like, Mark Davis pissed off a bunch of the owners because Nevada would allow him to have fans in the stadium. But he's like, it's all or nothing. And so he kind of set the standard for the rest of them where it's like, okay, well, now if we are allowed to and we do, then we kind of look like assholes or something like that. It's like, man, you kind of screwed us out of at least recouping some of that money we're going to lose.
Well, I didn't hear what happened from that that MLS game that had like 25% capacity. So I don't – must not have been a spike from there or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that is weird. The MLS started up really quick again, by the way.
Yeah.
But I think it was just the two teams that got kicked out of Disney because they couldn't play for the COVID Cup because they had COVID.
The COVID Cup.
COVID Cup champs.
But speaking of the Chiefs, they put out a very funny press release today about how they are evaluating their traditions like the tomahawk chop and the drum circle bang to kick off the games. And I'm reading this thing, and I'm like,
they have kind of gone by unscathed during this entire thing, haven't they?
My thing is they could get by with the Chiefs name if they ditch the imagery. The Warriors got lucky and ditched that a million years ago. Now no one thinks the Golden State Warriors
Braves as well. The old Braves logo. They have the guy with like the fucking hatchet in his mouth. Like,
But I'm reading this press release, and I'm like, okay, it's really hard to change your name overnight. You know, like. In Washington, they're just going to be the Washington Football Club for a year because it's hard. Yeah. But in this thing, they're talking about
FC
evaluating the tomahawk chop, and that's an easy one to stop.
Yeah.
You don't play that song.
You don't play the song.
You don't press play. And you want to know how you stop that weird, awkward drum banging thing?
Take away the
drum. You don't trot out the drum. You really want to know if people think the horse is weird that you trot around? Don't trot out the horse. Yeah.
Leave the horse in the stable.
These are things that are very easy. And kudos on them for now they're going to kick out people that come in with face paint. Mm-hmm. And they long ago tried in-house. They don't show people with headdresses or, you know, cable can do it. You know, the national broadcast can't all they want, but they won't in-house. Yeah. They've done some things, but these others are like, what a worthless press release. These are two things.
That's them kissing their own ass.
You could just stop if you wanted to.
Yeah, literally, you just stop it. You could have done that and not mentioned it at all.
And I shouldn't have read the mentions. That statement. And people,
the mentions are
probably. People are saying, tradition! We'll still do the tomahawk chop.
Yeah.
And maybe for a year or so, some people would, but. It's a lot harder when it's just some dudes doing it and there's not that song echoing in the background. Yeah. I mean, it's just
like tradition guy when it comes to Native American stuff. Like if they actually like went back and thought about what they're complaining about, like, so our tradition as white men in these United States of America, even before they were United States of America, our tradition is killing these people and taking their land. That's our tradition, and then rubbing their face in it for hundreds of years. That's our tradition that you're talking about right now.
Don't take away my Thanksgiving.
Don't take away.
That's where I draw the line, Buster.
Yeah, I mean, my turkey. I'm a ham.
I draw the line on pillaging.
Yeah.
How long ago was it when the Indians got rid of the Chief Wahoo logo?
Fairly recently.
Was that was a couple years ago. It was a couple years ago. Yeah. And I remember seeing those logos on the hats. They were selling them in Ross. And they were just the hats just didn't fit my head. But I was so salty about that because I really wanted one. Like that's one of the it might have to do with Major League, mm-hmm. but the logo is just classic. And I understand I'm contradicting myself 100% because it's totally racist.
Hey,
this might be my last chance to get one of these hats ever.
I have no problem admitting that I think the tomahawk chop at FSU, the Brave Atlanta, I think it's cool.
Yeah,
it's kind of offensive.
Yes, like when the Braves did it back in the day.
But it's pretty cool.
Do the Indians come out with a press release? Because they have a guy that sits in the left field bleachers, and he brings a drum with him, and he goes, doom, 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 you know, he gets it. He's the one.
You mean the guy who sang the Wild Thing song? Wild Thing! Dude, dude.
It's too high. It
pretty much
it's too high, yeah. What does that mean?
Too high.
All right, let's do our list. And it's based on game one, we should say.
Yeah. This is not a game two list.
This is not a game two inspired list.
Or is it?
Which, by the way, Dame came out and said he's playing next game. He's just got some soreness. That's going to get worse in the next couple days. Cool. That thing is going to swell like crazy. Anyway.
This is the one time you wish you had, like, those 4 days off in between game two and three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you wish you had the days to travel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in honor of East Oakland legend Damian Lillard, going quote unquote dumb for a few seconds,
paying
homage to his East Oakland roots in game one. Today's list is top three Oakland rappers.
Oh boy. So this is right up my fucking alley, by the way.
Same with me.
So are we including, so they can.
Oh, I think this is where it's going to get spicy.
This is tough because there were guys who were not like born and raised in Oakland, but who ended up being in Oakland
rapping.
So this is kind of tough. So what are we saying?
Include who you
they
want
could just
to
be
include.
Like, they could just be like associated with Oakland.
Sure.
Okay. 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 You want me to start?
Yeah. You know you want to.
My number three is the Grouch from Living Legends. Not a lot of people are going to know who he is.
It's a deep cut.
He's one of my favorite rappers ever.
Grouch is my number two.
I have for like 20 years loved him. So it's fantastic. If you don't know who he is, listen to him.
Yeah.
My number three is Too Short.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's a short dog, you know?
There are no wrong answers on this list, by the way. I don't think we're going to have, like, a lot of controversy here.
Loving every minute of it, because Pimpin's been around since the beginning of it.
Hey, the flat booty bitches are invading.
Is Too Short off kind of the icon of
Oakland
rap? I mean, yeah.
Like the face of it?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, he's probably one of the oldest to start in. He definitely loved to rep it, so.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He's not in my top three, by the way.
Ooh.
Not mine either.
I guess that's our
top three.
Yeah.
All right, so my number three is The Collective of Hieroglyphics.
Yes, sir.
All is one.
Yes, sir. And they're all like from Oakland, too, I'm pretty sure.
I think
like most
at
of
least,
them.
At least five of them, yeah, are from Oakland, so. Yep.
Couldn't agree more, and they're going to come up later on my list. Actually, they're coming up right now. Yeah, that's right, because I just shifted things. They're my number two. Hieroglyphics Collective. Del the Funky Homo Sapien. Ice Cube's cousin, I believe he is. Mm. That's a thing, right?
Sure is.
Again, Hiro, fantastic. So good. I've seen them in concert like three times, I want to say. They're really, really good. Souls of Mischief. Get at it. If you haven't heard them, hear them. All right, King.
My number two, Oakland rapper of all time, Mac Dre.
Mac Dre.
The Thizz Dance. And who can forget Getting Stupid? Mac Dre.
So he might actually be the face of Oakland rap. Now that we're talking about it, because he's got
you put him over one, Too Short.
So he died, and I remember they started painting billboards of him everywhere in the East Bay. Like he's like the hyphy movement. He kind of like started that. He might be more than Too Short. Even I don't know. That's a tough thing to say though. Too Short's been doing it for like 40 years, which actually, that might actually be true. I think he actually started in the 80s.
Yeah.
Which is fucking crazy to think about, but.
All right. Well, my number two was the Grouch, but since our lists are so close together, I'm going to audible. My number two now is going to be Shock G in the Digital Underground.
I love that pick. The Humpty Dance is your chance to do
Humpty Dance.
Yeah.
A young upstart.
The weirdest shtick ever. The fucking gold nose is the weirdest thing ever.
Young upstart by the name of Tupac Shakur.
Yeah.
Starting on the Digital Underground.
Tupac.
Yeah, Tupac.
Shakur.
That's four shy of a six pack. He's my number one, by the way.
He's a real gunner from the outfield.
So that it's tough because Tupac is not really from Oakland. Mm-hmm. He was like born in Baltimore, I think, and then lived in New York for a long time and then moved to Oakland when he was like a teenager or something. So he like went to high school in Oakland or something like that.
See, I didn't include Tupac just because the Baltimore thing for one, but I don't associate him with East Bay rap in the least.
He's LA, right?
He's LA to me.
He's LA, yeah.
Like okay. And it's fine because you're technically correct, and I'm not going to sit up here and be a fool and be like, Tupac sucks, get him out, you know?
I struggled thinking about this. I struggled thinking about it. Okay, so here, I'll change it because he's LA. He is.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll go number one, Zion I.
So can I say one thing about Tupac?
Sure.
The Tupac fans that make like, and a rose grew from concrete to be like the most poetic thing in the world, and he was just this great philosopher. You can miss me with that shit. You're 9 times out of 10, you're a white guy with dreadlocks saying that, just from my experience.
Yeah, I wasn't into that at all.
Don't you get it? Like the rose is symbolic.
No, yeah, I get it. I understand.
It's not.
I'm sure that was really edgy and smart in the 90s. But yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. And most of the music that came out after he died, like, just, yeah.
Wasn't he wrote that song a long time ago.
Wasn't a huge fan. Yep. I mean, but the double album's one of the best things that has ever been released in rap. All Eyes on Me. So. Yeah, he's not Oakland.
A double album. Can you imagine that now?
I know.
Here's 64 songs. Have fun. Nope. I got Spotify. Nope. Skip. I'm out.
Here's 38 MP3s. Like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Like, I look back at that in Wu-Tang Forever, and I'm like, those are period pieces.
Yeah, they are.
It's like 6-inch thick thing from Wu-Tang telling you to go spend 9 hours listening to the streets of Chalet.
Like 13-minute songs.
It was so long.
Well, you need a time for everyone to have a fucking verse in it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's like that joke that the last 30 seconds of an NBA game takes forever.
Yeah.
Like, the last 30 seconds of an NBA game is half of a Wu-Tang.
All right, did everybody do their ones?
No, I still got to do mine, but can we? This isn't Oakland related, but. No, I'm going to skip it. It's too controversial. I'm not going to say it.
Too controversial!
No, it's not. It's not.
You better say it now.
No, sometimes I look back at the Wu-Tang thing.
Uh-huh.
And people Wu-Tang not very good?
Not that. Not that.
Not that.
Right? I'll be like, wow, we were really into like Asian cosplay in our rap back in 1990. What were we doing?
That is it, literally. Wu-Tang, looking back on it, is the nerdiest shit of all time.
Well, and then, you know, you find out years later that Method Man is like was an all-American lacrosse player in high school and still drops into ESPN lacrosse games. And he just last week he was on ESPN or Fox calling women's lacrosse for like 20 minutes.
That's wonderful.
Wearing his like polo and his glasses. Yeah. It's just, golly, what were we doing? Whoa, what the hell?
What were we doing?
Well, that was just essentially Jizza doing everything, because he came. God, what was he came? I don't think he was a director, but he was like a producer on some movie that was like.
RZA, you're talking about.
RZA, yeah.
Yeah,
Which was, it was 95% Asian cast. It was like a kung fu movie with like...
No, he did, it was Man with the Iron Hands or something, wasn't it?
Yeah,
he like directed one, that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but there was like one black guy and one white guy, and then the rest of the cast were...
No, he was, like, he starred in it, right? He was Man with the Iron Hands.
I don't think he starred.
And like Russell Crowe was in that movie too?
I swear
to God, man.
For 2 minutes, I think.
No, he's like one of the stars of the movie.
I don't know. I think we're on a different movie.
The Man with the Iron Fists. Yeah, The Man with the Iron Fists. Directed by RZA.
It was directed by
RZA. He also stars in it. There's Russell Crowe, who plays Jack Knife. Lucy Liu's in it. Dave Bautista's in it. What? Yeah, dude, this is a real thing.
Man,
and then they made a sequel as well.
Yeah, I was gonna say, don't get the action-packed sequel.
Boy, that movie sounds like it was sickening. Guaranteed to make you jump.
RZA wrote the movie. It was produced by Eli Roth.
Wow,
it pays to know people.
Bangers only. Damn.
Yep. Yeah, I saw that movie. By the way, all right, do your number one. Hurry up.
MC Hammer.
MC Hammer.
Yeah, he's a bad boy for the A's. Whatever. Who cares?
Don't hurt him, King. Don't hurt him.
He's got the hammer.
You gotta pray just to make it today.
I like how he made British Knights cool.
Ooh, BK Knights.
BKs.
Yeah. That was a fun era. BK Knights and LA Gear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised LA Gear hasn't made a comeback.
Give us a little more time.
Because it was just all, it was so flamboyant.
We got to wait until after COVID times. I don't think we're ready for that right now. What's the point of getting LA Gear if you're not flossing them in like a club or something?
It's true.
You know? I mean, I guess you could get them and take them to Florida, but then we're talking about wearing LA Gears in a club in Florida during COVID times. That just doesn't seem right.
Just going to Florida.
Doesn't seem right. You did your one, right, Ski?
No. Okay. My number one is Deltron, a.k.a. Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
I love that you got Hyro and Del. And
I had to split them up. That's why I gave him Hyro as a collective.
Yeah.
Because I wanted Del solo.
I like it.
And an honorable mention to Yuck Mouth.
Yeah.
I remember listening to him.
Or Andre Nicotina.
And Andre Nicotina, yeah, back in like early high school.
Yeah. Ayo for yayo. Andre Nicotina, dude.
Boy, Jesus. Get a little hipster.
Yeah, for real. For real, we got to be careful. All right, on to trivia so we can get out of here. It is Oakland trivia. So not just rap, not just, you know, whatever. Like the city of Oakland trivia. It does include music. It does include music and stuff like that and some sports and stuff. So we'll see. So Ski, you won last time, right? Or no? No, King dominated fast food.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. All right, so King won the last one. So you're going to start with Oakland trivia, King. So, Too Short, probably the most legendary rapper to hail from Oakland. We talked about that. But in the late 80s, he formed a crew, which consisted of a bunch of guys, including Spice One, Ant Banks, Shorty B, and more. What was that crew called?
Crew two
is incorrect. Ski, your options. Short Dogs Posse, Dangerous Crew, and Killa Crew.
I don't know why any of these aren't jumping out at me. I'm going to say Dangerous Crew.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Good guess. All right, Ski, number two. Which three-woman singing group founded in Oakland got their start in 89 and had a run in the 90s that led them to several top 10 albums in that decade? Three-woman singing
group. I know a couple of them. Pointer Sisters were too early.
Yeah,
was it En Vogue?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. This is quality work by you so far. All right, King. Who was the first Oakland native to be put into the Basketball Hall of Fame? Moved to Oakland when he was 8. The first Oakland native in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Dave Cowens.
Incorrect. Your option, Ski. Don Barksdale, Bill Russell, or Paul Silas?
How about Paul Silas?
Bill Russell.
Is it Bill?
Yeah, he went to damn it. That should have been easy because he went to college there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a trick.
Yep.
I thought Paul Silas was a little older, so maybe he got it.
All right, so Ski, this is you too, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Which Oakland native spent 3 seasons in Portland, where he had his best season in 98, averaging 19.7 points per game?
98 Blazer?
Mm-hmm.
3 seasons.
3 seasons.
Fuck this. Gary Trent.
No. All right, King, your options. Jermaine O'Neal,
Rod
Strickland.
J.R. Ryder.
It is J.R. Ryder, yeah. Good stuff. All right, King. This Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, probably best known nowadays for his time in the broadcast booth with Chris Berman. Major League Baseball Hall of Famer.
Chris Berman.
Mm-hmm. Had a good long run.
God. Oh, God. Shit.
Actually kind of topical from something we talked about earlier.
Joe Morgan?
Yeah. Was that too big of a hint there?
I was like, Dave Soup Campbell?
all right, Ski. This prominent protest group was founded in Oakland in 1966 by college students Bobby Seale and Huey Newton.
Better know this one, Cracker.
I'm going to go to guess and say Black Panthers.
That is correct. You're just giving him like hints there, King, by the way.
I could not let him go down on that one.
Yeah, we're looking out for you.
Boy. Not now. No.
I love that. All right, so Ski is up 3-2. King, this R&B singer who has been featured on a couple of Dame Dala songs is famous for being one of the singers from Tony, Tony, Tony.
Oh. Pick one of the Tonys and I think you're good.
Yeah.
Hint, his name is not actually Tony.
No idea.
All right, Ski, Rafael Sadiq, Dwayne Higgins, or Tim Riley?
Tim Riley.
Is it Rafael Sadiq?
Yeah.
Was he on like Ruckus Records? Well, that name sounds familiar to me.
No.
Talk about hipster. I just dropped Ruckus
Records. Yeah, nice word.
Jesus Christ.
You're pandering to our listeners.
My God.
All right, so this one is Ski. Let's see. This rap group pioneered politically active underground rap in the 90s. Their main rapper, Boots Riley, has since become a director, having made the cult classic Sorry to Bother You in 2018. What's the name of the rap group he was in?
The Loonies.
No. They are Oakland based.
I had to throw out an Oakland based group.
Yep. You might have just answered a question later. No. Okay. All right, King, your options. The Click, Zion I, and the Coup.
The Coup.
Yep. All tied up at three. You don't really want to rap.
Is the Click considered Oakland rap?
No.
Isn't that E-40? Nope. And,
I threw that in there to throw you off. Because E-40 is Vallejo.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Everyone knows that.
Everybody knows that. All right. So this one goes to King. Yes. This pioneering punk band was formed in Oakland in the 80s, has since had three number one albums in the Billboard charts. Pioneering punk band in the 80s. Still active.
God, Green Day.
That is correct.
Yeah, Billy Joe. Welcome to paradise.
Welcome to paradise.
Play the same three chords every song.
Masturbation's lost its fun.
Wake me up in October.
Holy shit. I had no idea I could do a Billy Joe. Right on. All right, so King leads 4-3 right now. All right,
this is the last question?
No, I got two more. Let's see. This actor who won an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor in Moonlight and Green Book, also a rapper in the 90s, who worked with the Hieroglyphics, released an album in 2007 called Curbside Service. He's an Academy Award-winning actor.
Name the actor, or name his rapper name?
The actor.
Is that Mahershala Ali?
Yes, it is.
Mahershala, whatever.
Mahershala, yeah.
Mahershala.
Yeah. Mahershala. Yeah.
What the fuck was his rap? Did he have a rap name? Do you know?
I don't remember. Yeah. I didn't write that down.
You don't got that down?
I'll get that while we're doing the next one here. So I literally have one more question.
Ooh.
So if one of y'all doesn't get this, like, we might end in a tie. All right, King. This Oakland native, this is a great last question. This Oakland native was the star of Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Oh,
this is over. This is over if King doesn't get it.
Mark Cooper.
Yeah, oh, no! You missed
Mark Curry.
Mark Curry.
Yes. That's what I meant. Oh. That's what I meant. God damn it.
Oh, that's the disappointment on your face right now. That's wonderful.
That good one hurt.
I'm glad one of you guys knew that, too.
I knew we both knew it!
Did you watch that show?
Hell yeah!
I love that show.
Cooper. Yeah, it's good. What's he like?
I'm looking up
middle school teacher or something,
by the way.
Yeah, he was a teacher of some kind.
Substitute teacher?
Mm-hmm.
What was her profession?
You know what? I don't remember the in-depth plot of Hanging with Mr. Cooper. So.
I feel, and I know it's a little different in 2020 than it was in 1994, but they lived in a really nice house for questionable employment, I feel like.
that was a theme. TV shows in the
90s. Substitute teacher and a...
Yeah.
If you, by the way, other than
Holly Martin, Robinson, Pete clearly did not work, right? She was just kind of there to look good, right?
Yeah. Other than Martin, because Martin and Gina lived in a one bedroom apartment basically, and they had Brown Man coming in the fucking window while they're just chilling. No security in that apartment complex whatsoever. Mahershala Ali's rap name was Prince Ali.
He went on a limb there, I see.
Really did. Really creative there. But he has an album. He released a rap album.
Wasn't that a point guard at UCLA like 3 years ago?
I'm fairly sure they might
still have a Prince Ali.
Well, let's find out.
He was a boxer, wasn't he? Also Prince Ali.
He was a real prince, like King's.
Oh, yeah.
He'd come out and dance.
That dude was dope.
Yeah,
20-minute dance to the ring and you know, I don't think it was Prince Ali, but it was Prince something.
No, it was like Nassim.
Yeah,
Ahmed. Yeah. That dude was fucking dope. I loved him.
He must not have been very good because he did not stick around very long.
He did not. He's 46 years old now. That's crazy. By the way, speaking of which, Oscar De La Hoya is making a comeback.
Great. Is he gonna be the undercard for Tyson?
That really needs to stop happening. We're gonna watch one of these old men die in a boxing ring.
Here's the thing. There's no way he needs money.
No.
He owns Golden Boy. He's a promoter. He has so much money from promoting.
Yeah. Why would he do that to himself? Too many concussions make him want to go get too many concussions.
Anyway. Hey, maybe new concussions will fix the old concussions.
Hey, you never know.
Can't prove me wrong, can you?
Yeah. Yeah. Where's the science, huh?
Yeah, where's the science on that?
Huh? Some guy in Germany released a study about it. I read it. You can't tell me I didn't. Freedom.
America.
Apple pie.